Let's get her going on the National Hour. It's the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365, Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. In about 5 minutes or sooner, we'll welcome in Ken Hitchcock, fourth winningest coach in NHL history, 894.
Jeez.
Couldn't hang on for six more, get to 900.
I bet he blames a couple of players for that one. Also, Kip, before we move on, want to say thanks to Brady Leovold of Puck Support here. Sammy's wearing the sweatshirt. They do a lot of good things promoting conversation around mental health and substance abuse disorders and all that. Check out PuckSupport.com. Thanks, Brady. We appreciate it, pal. Big supporter of all you do. We'll get you on the show at some point.
Big fan of Brady.
Yeah. So, busy night in the NHL last night, Kip.
Yes,
Canucks back.
It's hard not to think about two markets, Toronto and Vancouver, going into a game without their team's MVPs, Mitch Marner in Toronto, and Quinn Hughes for Vancouver, and two pretty good performances from both hockey clubs.
Yes, I think the most encouraging thing out of Vancouver last night were the vibes. The goaltender is spectacular. Demko had maybe looked the best he looked this season. The fans were up and out of their seats. The energy was good and beat a very good team. So that was huge. And hey, good night for the Leafs too in Calgary. So fun that these two teams are going to go head to head where everyone's feeling pretty good about things. Will both guys be back? TBD. Is Mitch going to play on Saturday?
I think the concern for Team USA and Team Canada probably would lean towards more of a concern for Quinn Hughes with the U.S. team than Mitch Marner, who all indications will play tomorrow night in Seattle. So this one's tricky for Vancouver Canuck fans, I think, a lot more than what the Leaf fans might be looking at.
Did I have the order wrong? It's Seattle first and Vancouver?
Yes.
So Quinn Hughes won't travel with the Canucks to San Jose. And he'll miss his third straight game tonight. So... or not tonight. I think they play Thursday.
Now that we are close enough to say if he plays, it's going to piss off a lot of people in Vancouver.
If Hughes plays.
Yes.
And that's different than Marner?
Yes.
Yeah. Based on severity of injury or?
Third straight consecutive.
Yeah, third straight game, not traveling.
That
is, I think if Marner missed the game against Seattle or missed three straight going into the break, then played, I think people will be pissed here too. But, you know, missing one game, then playing two before the break, going to a different story. But it seems like the severity of the injury with Quinn is much more serious than the one with Mitch. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, hey, let's not mince words here. If you're a Canadian hockey fan, that's not terrible news. I know Canucks fans don't like hearing it, but if no Quinn Hughes is a huge, huge loss for them.
Yeah.
On that topic, Sidney Crosby being evaluated in Pittsburgh, if we don't get to see Sid play with McDavid, shut the tournament down.
Yeah, just cancel it.
Just full.
Everybody's got an ailment.
He did come back.
He did.
Okay.
But I don't know if it's enough to convince anybody that whatever happened to him last night is not a concern.
What are the Pens playing for anyway? Sid's got to play. That's all I got to say.
Send him.
All right, let's welcome in Ken Hitchcock, as we mentioned. One of the most successful guys behind the bench. I was kind of giving it to you, Hitch, a little bit. You know, 894. You couldn't have hung on for six more, get you to 900.
I got too old, too quick, Kipper.
How are you? We have not had you on the show, I believe, this season. You know, in terms of where are you and what you're up to, let's start there, Hitch.
Okay, I live in Palm Springs area. I'm kind of in the PGA West complex. I split my time between Palm Springs and Kelowna. When it gets too hot here by mid-May, I'm gone back to Kelowna. So I've stayed out west, but I'm actually, as I talk to you, I'm staring at the Santa Rosa Mountains right now. I'm sitting in a golf course patio. So life is okay.
Yes, it sure is. Too hot. Really good problem to have now for all of us.
Too hot, so I go to Kelowna. What do you remember at Harvest?
No, I play all over the place. There's a golf course in Summerland that I play at that's just a terrific place. So I I play a lot there, but it's mostly just public golf. Here I've got, I think I'm a member of seven courses here, so I get golfed out by the time I go back to Kelowna.
So you get your 18 games, 18 holes in, and then you come back quick bite to eat, and you kick up your heels to watch a hockey game. Is this still in your blood?
Oh yeah, I'm fanatical about it. I'm on the watching TV from basically 4 to 10 o'clock at night every night. So I love watching it, and you know, I'm still doing work with the Blues, so I feel like I'm a part of a team anyways, Skipper. And you don't want, for me personally, I don't want to ever lose that feeling, but the Blues being gracious enough, and I talk to the coaching staff at the NHL team pretty much every day, and then I talk to the American League guys once a week, so I've got enough to do, and it keeps me active and interested, to be honest with you.
Hitch, a lot of people are looking at the Blues and kind of admiring their retool. We've had Armstrong on. You talked about, you know, the players that they have coming and sort of kind of bridging that gap. Leafs fans are coveting guys like Braden Schenn. What do you think the Blues are poised to do here the rest of the way?
Well, we're in between right now. You know, we're a team that's we can, you know, we're chasing it, and we've got, we're competitive right now, and we've got a core of younger guys playing in the American League that are really legit prospects, 4 or 5 guys, maybe even 6. And it's, you know, when do you bring that group up and get them into the NHL? Do you let them ripen more and whatever? You know, we've got some decisions to make here in the next few months, deciding which direction we want to go, because we've got some young guys that are really beating down the door with their play in the American League. So we've transitioned into, we're not young and we're not old. We're in the middle, but we've got a young core that's coming on that's going to really help our team out. So it's, when do we pull those guys in?
So there's no question. It sounds like they'd be crazy not to lean on you coming up to a trade deadline, Hitch. Not specifically now, today, moving forward with your involvement with a trade deadline, but can you tell me over the length of your career how a coach, specifically you, behind the bench, and the evolution of being a coach to being involved in a trade deadline and letting them know crystal clear in your eyes what you think you need, what you don't need, and is that prevalent today as much as anything, getting the feedback from a coach on a trade deadline?
Yeah, well, Kipper, when I worked with Doug before, we've been together a long time, and when I worked with him before, the arrangement we had, which has not changed, that is, if he wanted my opinion on a player, he asked me to look at a guy or look at a guy's previous 4 or 5 games, give me his thoughts. But I never knew who we were giving up. I didn't want to know. And when I was coaching, I didn't want to know. And even now, I don't want to know. So he might call and say, hey, can you look at this guy, or what do you think of this guy? Opinion of where I think he fits. But I don't know what's going on our end, and I don't want to know. That's none of my business. That's between the coach and the general manager. So I just evaluate individually the player and then give him my assessment, and then he moves on to what he has to do there. But right now, most of my helping part is on tactics with Monty, and then with Cano in the American League. We kind of talk every Monday, and we go over the week's play, and then we go over what because there's so much practice time in the American League, he's got a real opportunity to grow his game, grow the game there. And so we talk about some of the drills that we want to do at practice, but Monty's more evaluation of the team game and what I saw and what I think needs to get better and what I think he needs to work on at practice.
So the Blues find themselves just 6 points out of the playoffs, certainly not out of the hunt by any stretch. How has it gone in the transition to Montgomery here? Has he been able to make the positive changes that people had hoped he'd be able to implement?
I think what Monty's done is make subtle changes that are going to end up being big advantages for us. And what I mean by that is there's a real strong structure to the game now. You can see it. you know, we're in every hockey game pretty much. We're competitive against good teams, like last night's game against Edmonton was a great game. And there's real structure in everything he's doing. So it's not overwhelming or it's not, you know, awestruck, but it's growing. And so we see us making more and more positive plays and negative plays now. The game isn't as freewheeling for us as it was before, but I think he's done a great job in bringing defined structure in our checking part of our game. He's really brought that to the group.
You're listening to Ken Hitchcock, fourth winningest coach in NHL history. Hitch, when we look at coaching changes, and you've been a part on a positive side or a negative side, it's hard to argue, you know, whether or not the decision is the right one when you look at the Detroit Red Wings. And this is not, you know, a shot at Lalonde, but like, how do you explain 14-4 with Todd McClellan?
Well, you know what, Kipper? The first guy to know that you're going to get let go as a coach is you, because it's a feeling you have inside the locker room. There's this vacuum, and you can feel the vacuum inside the locker room. Either they're not listening, they're staring into space, they're trying to absorb it. You can feel that as a coach, so you know when you're in trouble. It shouldn't and doesn't shock many coaches when they're in trouble. But I always feel like when you're bringing in a team or you're coming to a team, if you can partner up with the workers on the team like Todd's done, what's really changed for Detroit is the working element of their game. If you can convince the team that the working parts, the parts that don't get notoriety, the things that are hard, like tracking and reloading, second man support on contact, how you play on both blue lines. If you can convince the team to change their way of thinking in those areas, you can be successful right away. That's what happened to me in St. Louis. When I went into St. Louis, I was able to convince through the leadership of the players to change right away in our way that we wanted to play the game. And we took off right from there. And that's the same thing for me that's happened in Detroit. He got them to compete in competitive areas. And if you watch their practices, he's got a lot of small ice competitive games in the practice. So he's amped up the energy level by doing that. And the players have responded, quite frankly.
Ken, how hard is it to get young, talented players to become, you know, something like Andre Kopitar? That's a ridiculous guy to name probably, but like, you know, I'm thinking of Matvei Michkov, and Tortorella's got to try to figure out how to get him to defend. And that seems to be, you know, Zegras, these young guys coming to the league, and coaches have to be like, okay, you're an awesome talent. How hard is it to make them into hockey players, playoff hockey players?
It's hard. It's not easy.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to do the, you're trying to change a mindset, but all of us know, like from us, the players want to trust the coach, but you know what? The coach has to trust the player too. Mm-hmm. And for us as coaches, if we want to trust the player, then we'd have to know at least he's going to attempt to back check, to compete on pucks, to stop on pucks. We have to be convinced that player is willing to do that stuff, the stuff that doesn't get noticed, the hard stuff in the game, or else we're going to have trouble at times trusting that player. And that's the yin and yang that goes on. And it's like those players don't go through the wall for you individually on their own. You have to help them get through the wall. And it's that period of time when you're trying to help them get through the wall, it becomes pretty contentious. And you've got to be able to, as a coach, absorb that, because you're going to hear lots of mumbling in the background. You're going to hear lots of grumbling going on, but you've got to be convinced that at the end of the day, you're going to help this guy become a really good team player. And if you can do that and you can survive the grumbling, he's going to come out on the other side as a real good player for you.
Yeah.
Hitch, it looks like the scoring's down again in the NHL. I think last year, comfortably, there were four guys over 50 goals. Right now, I think Dreisaitl and Nylander are about the only ones really on a trajectory of 50 goals, but like it's got to be it's your fault. It's the coach's fault that no matter how many rules we change,
you guys just find
a way to just shut things down.
No, that's not right. What's wrong right now is there's too many good players in the National Hockey League.
Ah, major issue.
When you played, if your fourth line was on the ice, you chased them off the ice. He wouldn't go near the other team's first or second line. Now people use the fourth line to shut down the first and second lines. There's so many good players in the National Hockey League, and there's so much depth that you're not afraid to play anybody in any situation, and they can all skate and they can all check. And so you feel confident in them, and that's what's going on right now. Is the tempo of the game is white hot right now, and every team's got four lines that can play, and it's hard to create space or get opportunities if you've got fresh legs on the ice that aren't afraid to play.
So you've got some experience with Craig Berube, if I'm not mistaken. We've been following him pretty closely here in Toronto. We thought he'd be a lot meaner than he is. He's kind of nice about all of his players in the media, Hitch. What can you tell us about him as a coach?
I've known Craig for a long time. I had him on my team when he was 17 years old and playing major junior. And I would say right now the one word I'd have for Craig is relentless. Yeah. He's relentless in getting things done. He's relentless in making sure that it's done the right way. And he doesn't care who you are, where you came from, or what your involvement is. He wants it done a certain way, and everybody's got to be included in that. And I think that's why, for me, Toronto is going to be a really tough out in the playoff series. I mean, they're going through ups and downs, mostly because of injuries now, but they're going to be a tough out in the playoffs because he's got a lot of the top players playing the right way.
The right way apparently is dump and chase. They've got some of the highest skilled players on the planet, and to say that he simplifies things for maybe too much for Leaf fans is debatable, but it still works, Hitch, does it not?
Yeah, but I think the language has changed now. If I use the word dump and chase to the players right now, they would lynch me. And the word we use is strong. Make a strong play on the blue line, and that's where Craig's at. Whether you got to dump it in or not, he's more. He gets on guys when they don't make strong plays on the blue lines, and that's what good coaches do. That's the critical ice that you need to win the game in, and he's more than determined to make sure that ice is properly respected, because he knows if you're good on those lines. And you really embrace getting the puck to the end boards. He knows that you can win games and you can play games with one goal lead over long minutes and win series because of that. He's experienced that and he knows what it looks like. So he's determined that Toronto does it that way.
Is it true when he first came on board in St. Louis, he wanted pucks in deep so badly, even if it was a 3-on-2, he'd ask a guy to put it in deep?
Yeah, we always get accused of that. You know, we're dumping chase fanatics, but that's the yin and yang with you guys as players.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah, you can get a little excessive at times. So when you look around the league here, it's a weird year, Hitch. There are tons of teams within a couple of points of the playoffs. We don't have a team that's running away with the President's Trophy. How do you size up this year's contender? You know, it feels like 12 teams could win the Stanley Cup this year.
Well, I more look at it as who can win a series. Like winning four games when the competition is this hard is really difficult. And I'm looking right now at teams that are still winning, even though they've got injuries, like Dallas and teams like Edmonton and stuff like that. I'm looking at teams, Toronto's gone through it, where they still won games and even though they've had a bunch of injuries. So you're looking for teams that can absorb punches in the stomach or punches in the nose and still keep winning. And so I'm looking at teams that have depth, have competitive depth, and real leadership, strong leadership. And so I think anybody can beat anybody on a given night. And sometimes between travel and proximity of games, you can have a different energy level, but when you're a playoff series, everybody's got the same energy level. And those are the teams that I think are going to be successful are the ones that are really deep in the competitive areas.
Hitch, I'd love your thoughts on everything that's happened between the Vancouver Canucks and the New York Rangers, and JT Miller, now a member of the New York Rangers. And, you know, when something like that type of trade gets so played out in the media, and clearly there were some issues between JT Miller and Pettersson. If you were Laviolette right now in New York and you brought in a guy like JT Miller, how important would it be to a head coach to kind of find out what went on so you can maybe help a scenario where, you know, certain things might not surface again? Or, like, would it be important for a head coach to bring in a player that may have had a certain reputation to better understand him?
You know what, Kip? I really think that having a clean slate is critical. You've got to have a clean slate. And that means that unless the player wants to bring it up, it's none of my business. My business is what's going on. This is, you don't hesitate and say, this is the culture of our team that we want embraced. But I think bringing up things that happened before don't do anybody any good. And I think the quicker you can move on into a coach and get him excited to be with his new teammates, the better. Because I think if you start dredging through that stuff, there's going to be a lack of trust. And I think you got to get out of it and stay out of it.
Did you watch the Mikko Rantanen trade and find yourself completely shocked like the rest of us? Or do you think that these sort of things are going to happen more frequently? What was your take on the big trades recently?
I was surprised, to be honest with you. I felt like there's certain players in the league that are untouchable. I thought he was an untouchable player. Mm-hmm. And obviously he wasn't, but you know, you just know moving forward, like when you get legit top three forwards or legit top two defensemen, they are really hard, really, really hard to replace. And so you're hoping that what you get back is equal, or else it doesn't help your hockey club, because it's not like you're trading a second line player or a third line player. You're trading top players who have significant impact every night in the game. And for me, those are trades that even when you're making the trade, it makes you nervous, you know, because you're not sure, you're kind of think you know what you're giving up, but you're not sure what you're really getting. And you're hoping that what you get is going to be equal or better.
One more for me, Hitch. And speaking of being nervous, we're going to see next week some of the biggest stars from respective clubs getting together for this Four Nations tournament. And while it's an easy conversation to wonder, oh my gosh, what happens if one of them gets hurt during this thing? There's also the other side of it, Hitch, where, you know, sometimes a player's experience can change them for the better. You went through it, I'm sure, many times over your career with the Olympics or a World Cup. Just what are the possibilities of players going to the next level just based on being around some of the best players in the world?
Kip, I'm telling you, when you watch these games and when you know what matters to the players, like the Olympics did for us or the World Cup did for us, when you get in these competitions, the hockey is amazing. And the tempo and the speed and the way that even when you bring them out and you watch the way the players practice is exciting, because the skill level and the tempo and the speed is incredible. And then you pull that into the games where everything's on the line individually, game by game. It's amazing hockey. And it's like I went out, by the time I coached my first Olympics, I'd been in the conference final three times and in the cup final a couple times. And I didn't even think there was another level until I saw the level in the 2002 Olympics. And from there on, and I've never seen level of hockey that high in my life, and probably never will.
Hey, listen, I'm just getting some text messages from the hockey world asking me if you still golf with four balls in your pocket.
I wish I did. I'm one step away from hitting it off the forward tee. That's how bad it is right now.
Well, if you do, you got us to round out your foursome next time.
We got you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Hitch. Appreciate it.
Ken Hitchcock, one of the most successful coaches in NHL history.
I liked
some of his answers.
Yeah, what are you thinking?
The first one, JT Miller. And if I'm the head coach, I'm like, not that I'd want to pry, but I would really honestly feel if I had some idea of just a little bit of an inkling of what would happen, yeah. I can help you or us.
You know?
And Hitch brought up a better point than mine. Just leave it alone.
You don't want to ask your new girlfriend about her ex-boyfriend. You don't need those answers. They won't help.
He's a Marine.
Hey. But if I could get 15 minutes with the ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, you'd learn a lot about her.
A lot.
Yeah, but then you'd be predisposed to think things about her that maybe she deserves a fresh start from.
Or it could be like years later, if I only knew. If I only knew.
What'd you think about him? You mentioned their goal scoring being down, and you're starting to blame coaches, and yeah. He was disagreeing with you as you were saying it.
Yes.
But you just said there's too many good players. I never thought of it like that. It's interesting. Like, it's just like, you know, the fourth line used to get caught out against someone and they couldn't hold up or whatever, but like, so there's just too many good players. That's why scoring is down. It feels like a stupid thing to hear, but it's an interesting perspective.
Yeah. I did a quick Google search while we were talking, because that's kind of the kind of thing I do. So goals per game are down, Kip, to your point.
Yep.
They were really down 10 years ago, 2.6 goals per team per game. That was the average output. And then it's 2.7, 2.9, 2.8. We got all the way up to 3.14. Last year is 3.08. This year we're back down to 2.98. We're going the other way. This is be the second year in a row. And save percentage is still going down all the while. Going down every year. So this is structural, positional.
100%
hockey.
It is.
This is not goalies.
And listen, we cover the Leafs. That's what we do here. Our first hour is the Leafs.
Right about that.
We do, 15 regional games. Like, they're making less mistakes because they aren't allowed to put themselves in a high-risk situation. High risks leads to more goals.
You know what's fascinating is I sent you guys the list of dump-in rate percentage. I sent you the top six teams and the bottom six teams in the league. Nobody possesses the puck more than the Edmonton Oilers. They dump it in the least. 44% of the time, roughly, they dump the puck in. No one dumps the puck in more than the Florida Panthers. 59% of the time, they dump it in.
And then they smash you like a bug.
And those two teams were in the Cup Final last. Doing it the complete two opposite ways.
Sorry to ask.
Number 1 and 32 in the league.
Sorry to ask, in the National League, where are the Leafs ranking that?
The Leafs are only a few teams dump it in more than them. They are 28th in the league. They dump it in over 56% of the time. So more like Florida than Edmonton.
Hmm.
A very high dump-in rate with Berube.
I mean, but if you got Draisaitl and McDavid carrying the puck.
Handle it. Don't give it to them.
Go ahead. Yeah, you're good. You carry it in.
There's no pressure.
Now, can you imagine now if Craig Berube coached the Edmonton Oilers?
Oh, my God. There's no worse fit in the league. It would be mutiny.
Well, people, you could say the same thing about the Leafs.
Honestly, you know how coaches call players in? McDavid might call Berube his office. Be like, this isn't going to work.
You see any world where Austin Matthews scores 60 goals again?
If you were dumping
with Craig
it in
Berube?
Yeah, that's a key partner.
Don't be too fancy.
Probably not. Yeah.
But just win and all is forgotten, like the Florida Panthers proved.
I will say, I love him mentioning the hockey connections, and I think that's what makes hockey really, really cool. I had Berube, they coached him
at 17 years old.
Major junior. That was a hell of a hockey team. Leading scorer on that team, frequent friend of the show, Rob Brown.
Really?
Yes.
Shot it in all
for,
the time.
For the 85-86 Kamloops Blazers, he had 173 points, 58 goals, 115.
I should ask Hitch, because Hitch coached Rob Brown.
Yeah.
And I think it was Hitch who turned him into a forward.
Well, Brown was a defenseman?
Yes.
Well, good choice.
Yes.
Good choice, because he shot it in a lot. Rob Brown also had 171 PIMs that year, so he was busy.
Dude, and Rob Brown was a menace.
We got to get Brownie back on the show.
Robin Bow Wow on that team. That was a tough team. Berube was on that team. There was a lot of tough guys on that team.
I broke in the NHL with Robin.
Yep. Yeah, that was
the Washington Capitals.
That was one of the guys on your team. Anyways, you want to do game time?
But you're the producer.
All right.
What are you asking me for?
I don't know, I'm just making sure you wanted to do it, buddy. It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. A few less games on the ice tonight than there was last night, which was one of the busier nights of the year. Quickly pulling up the game. Phone malfunction. A good one on Broadway. The Boston Bruins in New York to take on the Rangers. A repeat matchup because they played on the weekend.
It's a big game.
Sorry, I just unplugged my headphones so I can't hear myself, and it's really jarring. Just give me 1 second here. Bet365. There we go. The Boston Bruins are plus 180 underdogs in New York. The New York Rangers are minus 220 on home ice against the Bruins. It's just another really good classic NHL matchup, so a really exciting one there tonight. The Edmonton Oilers, a game you can watch on Sportsnet West, Sportsnet as well, are in Chicago to take on the Blackhawks. The Battle of the Connors. I know everyone's really excited about that, Kipper, and especially you. You're really fired up about that.
Big Bedard guy.
You love Bedard. You can't say good things about him.
Just stop that right now.
Okay. I will stop right now. How about a Connor Bedard goal tonight against his fellow Connor? Future Team Canada member Connor Bedard at the 2026 Olympics.
Woo.
Connor Bedard goal plus 200 tonight against his other Connor. And the last game on the ice tonight, another Canadian team in action. Montreal in LA to take on the Kings in the second half of a back-to-back. The Montreal Canadiens are plus 205 underdogs. The LA Kings minus 250 on home ice. Kings looking for a win. That'd be a good one.
Montembeau stole one from Celebrini on the goal line to put the Sharkies up. And then Montreal wins. That's Team Canada's goalie right there, baby.
Yeah. Anyways, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. And when we return, we'll get into some NHL news and notes, including Crosby being evaluated on an injury last night. Also, another Stanley Cup champion drops out of the Four Nations. We'll tell you who and who replaces them when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's The Fan Pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. A reminder this hour, Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Sidney Crosby being evaluated after an upper body injury last night where kind of looked like the Malachi crunch on him.
Malachi crunch?
Do you remember that?
No.
How was that?
God, you guys are so young. Oh, it's a reference to Happy Days.
Oh my God, kid. It's not like it was a recent one.
Stop it.
Happy Days. Is that in color?
Remember that from the Honeymooners?
Shut that down right now. I'll turn this car right around.
Yes, he did get crunched.
Yes.
And, if I had to completely guess, it looked somewhere in this region.
Okay.
The ribular region.
We just got to get through the weekend because...
Did you say the ribular reason?
Yeah.
It's guys are starting to kind of drop like flies here. William Karlsson, Team Sweden, is out now and will be replaced by Rochelle.
Ricard Raquel. You owe me a Coke.
Pittsburgh should rest Sidney Crosby for the Four Nations face-off, and I mean that.
He doesn't get to play until the Four Nations face-off.
Yes.
I agree.
They are not going to make playoffs. Not even close. They're 55 games. They have 53 points. There's six teams above them. There's 7 points out. They're out.
Done.
Sid loves this Canada stuff. It's important to Canadians.
He's the one guy that now, if Pittsburgh's out, he'll probably go and risk it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? Absolutely risk
it. cortisol. Get him out there. We need to sit on Canada. This is a part of what we're doing here. Their minus 37 goal differential is the worst in the Eastern Conference. Dead last. Worse than the Flyers.
You can't go, though. We can't go. Like, you don't want to.
No, you don't want to risk long-term injury to Sid. That would be devastating.
I think this is kind of the peril. Like, there's like the give and take of having a mid-year tournament where the pros of it, guys are in the swing. They're in they're in literal mid-season form. It's like they've been playing hockey. They're in the middle.
Yeah.
But the con is that you're going to have guys banged up no matter what.
Yeah, you're like, never going to have a healthy.
The rigors of this, and it's a good warning because next year, 2026, is the Olympics, and it's around this time. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's going to be a best on best, and that's going to be more of a true test. But, like, there's a world where Cale Makar's knee's a little twisted, and he's not going to be able to play, or this or that. Like,
but, like, Pietrangelo would play through it for the Olympics.
You think?
I do. I do think it's related to what the event is.
Okay. Oh, and by the way, I saw this stat the other day, Sidney Crosby's all-time record with Canada. Sidney Crosby is 45-5 all-time when he's in the lineup for Team Canada, 25-0 in his last 25 games with them, and he's 4-1 in international tournaments since joining the NHL.
You know what? We're gonna pull up his golden goal here for those of you watching at home. Let's watch his golden goal here.
That's unbelievable.
Oh, no, we can't?
No.
No one can?
Oh, no
ever?
One can. No.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Zach Werenski also missed last night's game. So something's going on with him too. And he's having a Norris type of season for Columbus. How about that decision looming on an organization that has to show their fan base that they're serious about making the playoffs?
One point out of playoffs.
Oh, they've been
through this year. Like,
so their decor is going to have no Quinn Hughes, no Zach Werenski.
We can just push Jacob Slavin down a well. No, we're laughing.
Hellebuck feeling all right?
Yeah. I don't mean that.
No, I mean neither.
They already lost their top goal scorer, Merchenko, to a broken jaw.
From being on the bench, just sitting there talking.
That happened to me when I broke into the league. Washington Capitals were one of the few hockey teams in the league that had video on the scoreboard.
Oh.
Like live pictures.
Oh, and you love
everybody that. Else had just like numbers and digital flashes of something.
Yeah.
But this was live video. I'm playing the Montreal Canadiens. I'm starting to watch the game on the scoreboard.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Not paying any attention. Peter Bondra does a circle around the neutral zone and shoots a puck, and I'm watching it going, hey, it looks like it's going straight for a boom, right in my eye.
Come on.
Cut me open for like 40 stitches.
Hey, did you see it coming on the Jumbotron? Did you see the play coming that way?
I saw him shoot the puck. Now, I had no idea it was going to come right at me.
No, of course.
But he shot it. It goes off my cheek. I fall right back.
Yeah.
On my back now, and the benches are right beside each other, and there's Guy Carboneau pressed up against the glass, laughing.
Really?
It reminds me of, was it Stillman? Corey Stillman and the fan? The fan was making fun of Stillman for getting cut?
No, it wasn't Stillman. No, it was Steve Sullivan.
Steve Sullivan.
Steve Sullivan. That was maybe the best exchange I've ever seen.
Haven't seen it, you have to YouTube it. The player gets hurt. He's bleeding. The fan's laughing at him. And the same game that fan gets hit in the head of the puck and gets cut open, and Sullivan goes and laughs at him. It's incredible.
I will say that that's not my favorite Chicago fan interaction. The greatest, maybe, fan interaction of all time is, I forget who, he hammers somebody through the glass. I think it was maybe.
And the guy puts the.
Yeah, and he's so hammered, like, can barely stand up. Grabs the helmet, pulls it off without undoing the and just like puts it on his head, and he's holding the
beer. Crushes
the
beer while he's wearing a player's helmet.
It's one of the funniest clips of all time.
You played with Mike Ridley, right?
I love it.
I played with Mike Ridley.
I played some 3-on-3 in the summer with him in Kelowna once. Did I tell you that?
No.
He smashed my face all up. We were on the same team, 3-on-3. I passed the puck out from behind the net, and he one-timed it right back into my face. It was like this. Ting, bam.
No.
Yeah, broke my nose.
I got he had a good career for Canadian college kid, right?
I was a big fan of his, and Bondra. I loved watching Peter Bondra.
Mike Ridley and Kelly Miller had this nice connection together.
Is it Kip?
That's the family. That's a whole Miller family.
Okay.
So you mentioned Peter Bondra.
Brother or cousin.
Okay.
I forget.
So there's a lot of talk on the broadcast last night about Shane Doan, how long it took him to get a hat trick. Was it Bondra that never had a hat trick?
What? No way. Bondra scored all the time.
Or maybe I'm getting him and Peter Sikora mixed up. One of those two guys, Peter Sikora or Bondra.
The best part of the show is it's name a guy.
He didn't have a hat trick.
Bondra's at 500 goals his career, is he not? Did he hit 500?
He does have hat tricks.
Okay.
According to
Does Peter Sikora have a hat trick or am I out of my mind?
All right.
Should a hat trick come off an empty net?
Sikora, for most two-goal games without a hat trick. Before scoring his first hat trick in 2008.
Okay.
So he had the record.
Okay, there you go.
Should we credit a hat trick still with an empty net goal?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just asking. Two and a half.
Unless Ovi gets
half a hat.
Ovi has 7 more empty netters than Wayne did. So it's not like it's 1,000 more than Wayne did.
Yeah.
Is it sullying the chase for you a little bit?
Credit.
I don't want to talk about the chase.
Credit.
I'm just getting in trouble.
It's the great chase.
I get in trouble when I talk
credit
about the chase.
Credit the team, though, for putting him in a possession. Credit the Washington Capitals for putting him in a position where they got to pull the goalie.
But come on, Paul.
Yes, they're winning all the... You're right.
If they were a bad team, he'd have way less goals. He'd have way less.
I mean, and like, come on. You know, we love Paul Maurice. Well, you guys love Paul Maurice on the show. Like, you really need the goalie out. You're down 5-3. Like, I mean, there's 10 seconds. Put him back in the net.
Save your pride.
Hey, 5-3 looks way better than 6 or 7-3.
Does it ever?
What does looks mean?
Goal scoring's down, right? So we need to bring it up with empty net goals.
Drop it up.
We did mention the Canucks a little bit off the top of the National Hour, but big win last night. They're now 4-1-1 in their last 6 games. Mm-hmm. People are pretty excited about Hedel out there. Hedel?
Yep.
I always screw that up. I want to say Hedel so bad.
It's spelled so weird.
It is. It really is.
For Hedel.
It's the Brady Shea of names.
But, you know, I follow Bick Nizar from out there, and he does Canuck post-game stuff, and he's on Sportsnet 650. The station you listen to this very... on this right now, if you're in Vancouver, and he sent out a poll today. He's like, I feel like this is I know how this is going to go, but I want to test it. Rest of the season, more points. Filip Hedel or Elias Pettersson? He put out that poll. And in 340 votes, Filip Hedel is leading it by 53% of the vote. Like they're dying for anything out there.
It's commentary on multiple things. If you go through the Canucks' time on ice leaders last night, the guy who played the most for them on forward was Hedel.
Really?
20 minutes and 45 seconds he played for them. I don't know what he was playing in with the Rangers, but it wasn't 21 minutes a night.
No.
I can tell you that. Meanwhile, Mikko Rantanen, who is playing 22 and a half minutes per night for the Avs, is averaging under 20 for Carolina right now, has 2 points, a goal and assist in 4 games.
Yeah.
And what's Marty doing? What's Marty Natchez doing?
Well, surely more than that. Can figure that out for you.
Well, not last night.
No, nothing last night.
Had a big goose egg.
Yeah.
But I think there's an element of Rantanen that is still a little shell-shocked
being
traded.
Okay? How could he not? He
had I don't know. I don't know if it's going to work there or not.
I do think that Natchez has a much better chance to have his new numbers do this. You're with McKinnon. If you check the NHL Edge IQ stats, there.
The one thing that's crystal clear is he can keep up.
Well, yeah, it's him, McDavid, McKinnon, right? Our top three in all speed things.
Like, he is fast. He's quick. He's got the water bug kind of acceleration.
Can you imagine you're a D? How bad would your gaffes be if you were defending McKinnon and Natchez at the same time? I'd be on top of the goalie.
You'd be sick of it by the end of the game.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Okay, gap up.
So
back.
In 6 games, Colorado, he has 5 points, 1 goal, 4 assists. He's a -4. Didn't help because I think he was -3 in his first game. So, I think there's something to be said about him being shell-shocked still with Rantanen.
His time on ice, though, he's played 23 minutes a game with Colorado and 18 prior to that.
Carolina just had no faith in Nagash being a guy that they can count on down the stretch.
Didn't use him.
So just to go back to Vancouver, because that's how we started the conversation, looking at that team the Leafs played last night in the Flames, who are a fantastic story. And I think they've been one of the great surprises in the league, great goaltending. But, you know, if that's the team the Canucks have to kind of get by here, do you have a belief in this sort of quote-unquote no new look Canucks that they're going to, you know, kind of get hot here and make a run into the playoffs?
Someone somewhere in this building today said, if that Canucks team isn't better than that Flames team.
It might have been me.
Something's wrong.
It may have been me. And listen, like you said.
We got a bad Flames.
Got the bad Flames night. I get it. I understand
Flames
that.
Flames fans deserved a better showing.
Yes.
They have looked much better than that most of the year. But yeah, I do think the Canucks are probably the better of the two. I do think that their D with Hughes is going to look good. And it sounds like, you know, from some reports, I think Thomas Drantz said that
they're going to make another move.
They're still looking at.
Yes.
That's
not to say Calgary's not going to be in a position to add as well. But the odds on favorite is that Vancouver will feel it a lot more to do something still than Craig Conroy.
Yeah, so, Vancouver definitely has more pressure. But if you're looking at Hughes, Hronek, Pedersen, Myers.
Which Pedersen?
Yeah, Marcus. Elias so Nils, Pedersen, Forbort, or whatever. You know, you had one other guy, Susie's there. And then add one
We're
more.
We're going to have to get middle names, aren't we?
Well, Nils is in there. Elias Nils, Pedersen.
They've been calling him. I think they called, I saw DPD.
Do they all have,
DPD is good.
Do they have all middle names?
I don't know.
The whole team, I presume so. Unless they're Madonna or something. That's how you assume.
Yeah. But I'm
we'll look into it for you.
I'm hoping for our friends in Vancouver that they figure it out because, boy, they've gone through the ringer this year in terms of taking a beating and being in the spotlight. I'm hoping they figure it out.
Credit, though, to our friends that are covering the Canucks. Been fun.
Yeah.
You've had news to talk about.
And
the Jets just win every week, and it's like, yeah, their goalie's good. They're pretty consistent.
It's so funny you say that because somebody just texted in to our text line and said, I guess the Jets don't have a team anymore, fellas.
But he's just winning's
they're
not enough.
So good. Have they won seven in a row now?
Yes,
seven games in a row.
You need drama.
They're first in the league.
I know, but
President's Trophy fave, seven straight wins.
You need drama now.
They in 55 games, they are 38-14-3, 79 points, a plus 67 goal differential, have won seven in a row.
They move the puck.
And we don't mention them ever.
It's like.
They move the puck.
They move the puck. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
They're great.
Yep. Mark Scheifele should be on Team Canada.
Yeah, Mark Scheifele should be on Team Canada.
Mark Scheifele should be on Team Canada.
Someone's going to drop out here.
Someone's going to get
hurt. He's going to play. He's going to play for Canada.
You think so?
I do.
Yeah.
I'm almost certain you're going to see Sanderson play for the U.S. You're going to see Scheifele for Canada.
If you didn't get asked the first time and you're thinking you're having an unreal year and you already got the, you know, I don't know, you're going to Diamandis and Cabo. You're like, well, they didn't want me to begin with, so I'm going to go play some golf.
He's not like that, though.
No,
Scheifele loves hockey.
I know.
He's a hockey player.
Yeah.
Right.
So this is me saying, Winnipeg, we totally love you and understand how great you are, but you're just, nothing ever happens. All you do is win.
You got good relationships.
Yeah,
so, you know.
The coach is good and new. And
everyone works pretty hard.
The only time we talked about them recently is when he called them like horse crap.
That's like the only clip we played. Oh, I'll say something. I love Neil Pionk's slap shot.
Yeah.
Like the fact that he caught one last night and loaded it up.
It's starting to be a bit of a signature for him.
It is. After the couple Colorado OT winners, that's beautiful to watch. So
did we hit
I do
the,
hope
did,
that they add
did
one
we hit
more
the
player.
Jet quota?
I got another Jet thing here.
So are we good?
I got another Jet thing here. This is from Dmitry Filipovich that the Jets are now 27-5-1 in games Dylan Sandberg has been healthy for this year, and they now have a 130-72 goal differential in those games. So there you go.
Hey,
another great Jet stat. Boys, Jets talk been great today.
Yeah, it was really fun.
We should do that every day. It's Jets talk. They're good.
Checking into the Jets. Still good.
Yeah.
What do we got? Four games on tap tonight?
Three. Yep.
What do we have Boston here, guys?
On our network, it's going to be Oilers.
We got,
We think Boston's going to get in still?
No. I actually kind of do.
Oh, gosh.
I know. Just limp in and beat the Leafs.
All right.
That hurt.
Dude. Sorry, Phil.
Our thanks to Ken Hitchcock, who joined us today. Probably on the third hole now.
Yep.
I would if I were him.
Also, all of your questions in our
you look like you own a book
McKee mailbag as well. Enjoy your game tonight, and we're back tomorrow on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.
Yeah.